In your Bibles, turn to Micah, the book of Micah, chapter number 7. 7 to the last book in the Old Testament. So if you're at the New Testament or in Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, or Malachi, keep going to the left. Anything else, go to your right. Or just go to the front of your Bible and look in the index. All right, Micah chapter number 7. We're going to read verses 5 through 7. I'll read verse 5 if you'll join me on verse 6, and then I'll finish out on my own verse number 7 in the book of Micah. Micah chapter number 7. Stand with me, please. Micah 7, and I'll begin there, verse number 5. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For a son dishonoreth a father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is good that we have the answers, Lord, that you've given us a book where we can turn to. And Lord, when we are in a time of need, we can turn to you. Lord, it is good that we have that. And Lord, I pray that you'd please be with us tonight, that you'd bless everything, the special music and then the preaching. And Lord, that you'd meet with us tonight in a great way. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated.
Singing tonight, folks. Brother Greg, we're awfully loud up here. I don't know if it's loud out there, but it's awfully loud up here. The humidity plays such a factor in this clarity of the sound. And this morning it was very humid in here, a little dull. But tonight it's less humid, and boy, it's overwhelming up here. If it's not overwhelming for you, is it okay out there? And that's what we're... And Brother Tom, thank you for leading the song. I enjoyed seeing all those Bibles in the air. That's a blessing. I'll tell you what, friend. And that's a good sight right there. I like waving that old black book. And now look, if you're too refined for that, that's why we do that, see. That's part of the problem with our churches today. We've got too refined, just having a good time in church and just enjoying the service, amen. So, and by the way, if, you know, you want everybody to be happy at your party, be happy at somebody else's party, see. I don't like folks who only can be participating in their stuff, you know, but nobody else's. So I enjoyed that. That's a great old song, Hold the Fort, and it's true. All right, I want to speak tonight on the subject, look to God. Look to God. Look at verse 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Look to God. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we can look to you. I pray somebody's heart will be lifted up tonight. I pray somebody's heart will be encouraged. I pray that somebody will get something from the Scripture that, Lord, will be a blessing and a help to them. Starting tonight into tomorrow and throughout the remainder of this week. And then, Lord, if somebody maybe doesn't need this message tonight, they'll put it in the memory bank and be ready to pull it out on the day that they need it. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. It's amazing how quickly a fairly non-eventful, sedate, settled life can change on a dime to something far less comfortable. And I'm not speaking of comfort materially, okay? I'm talking about the comfort that comes from everything being fairly normal in our life. And whether it's health or job or family or finances, some circumstance involving one or more of those, or maybe something that I didn't even mention in that list, throws us out of our comfort zone into chaos zones. And it's unbelievable how quickly that can happen. It's incredible how quickly that can happen. It can change in a day, can't it? Or less. It can change with a phone call. It can change with a doctor's visit. You know, I haven't said a whole lot about some problems my dad has been having. We talked about it at Ladies' Soul Winning Meeting one morning, and it's not because I'm trying to keep it a secret. It's just we didn't know all the things. Dad has been having some weight loss and some other issues, and he has stage 2 melanoma. They had to cut some skin off of his body, stage 2 cancer, and they think and they hope that since the cancer's been cut out now, his sickness, his physical problems will go away and he'll get better. He's been having some problems and he's got some other issues and he's still losing weight, which is not normal. And so they're checking now the lymph nodes and stuff like that. And so, you know, Dad's, he'll be 78, I think, this November. And when they come up here for Pete and Leah's wedding, we're going to sit down sometime and talk with them and my brother Tim and my uncle and aunt and try to figure out what's the best thing to do for my folks. It may be that they'll move up here and be close to us, Joyce and me, in their next several years, you know. And so we'll see. But, you know, it's just it's amazing how quickly comfort zone can become chaos zone, how quickly that can happen. And some in our church right now are in one of those chaos zones, circumstances, situations, some well beyond your control, have come into your life, and you know you're uneasy, and you're unsettled. It's hard to relax. You might be a little bit your nerves on edge, and weariness touches you. And so, yes, Pastor, that is me. Got any advice for me? Got anything that could help me? Well, if you are looking for some newfangled psychobabble that sounds fancy but has no substance to it, no, I can't. I don't have any advice for you. Because if you want that kind of advice, what I'm going to give you will be boring. What I have sounds like something so simple and so trite, but it does have substance to it. You know, we live in a world where everything is image. Everything is, it doesn't matter if there's no substance to it. You know, these silly windmills that are popping up all over the landscape now. Hundreds and hundreds. And I sat by this guy on the plane going down to North Carolina a couple weeks ago. And he was talking. He's in the field of energy. And he just talked about how ridiculous to think that those windmills really would power America. And how it looks good to the naked, you know, to your eye when you see that. Oh, that's wonderful and environmentally clean. When the truth of the matter is, folks, it's more, far more image than it is substance. Far more. The truth of the matter is, we got some real clean energy in the nuclear power industry if the government would just get off their backs and let them produce it. And the same thing would happen with the coal. But the government, anyway, I'm not going to get off on that tonight. But I'm just saying, you know, what I have to say to you, image-wise, it may be a little bit like meat and potatoes. But I'm going to tell you something, it sure does work. And if you've gone from comfort zone to chaos zone, you say, what's your advice? Here it is. Are you ready? Look to God. Look to God. Look to God. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. You're not alone. See the one who will give you courage to press on. Look to God. Now, the prophet Micah, he found himself in a very discouraging time. He was a prophet during the reign of Kings Joram, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And they ruled over the nation of Judah, and he preached during the reign of all three of those kings. When you get to the end of chapter 6 and the beginning of chapter 7, this is probably written during the reign of King Ahaz. He was a wicked king. He was Hezekiah's daddy. Okay? He was a wicked king. He did not do that which was right. Then, of course, Hezekiah came along and things changed under some good righteous leadership and got better. But he's writing this during the reign of Ahaz. And I want you to look at how Micah begins chapter 7. Look at what he says. He says, "Woe is me." Chaos zone. We're not in comfort zone. This is chaos zone. Woe is me. And then he lists a few reasons why he would say that. I won't take time to preach all of them, but in verse number 1, he feels all alone. Look at verse 1. He says, "I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit." First ripe fruit. He uses an illustration from the world of agriculture. And he says, you know how they go through and they have the first fruits and then they have the main harvest? And then when the main harvest is all done, you go back out to the vineyard or back to the garden and you don't find a whole cluster of ripe grapes. You don't find a whole lot of ripe fruit. You look on the vine and you see one single solitary ripe grape. They're all by itself. That happens sometimes in your garden at home. You go through, you get the first fruits of the harvest of the first fruits, the first few tomatoes. Then you get the bulk, the main harvest. Your tomatoes come in if you got 3 or 4 or maybe 9 or 10 plants. And then you go back out and you've gotten most of the main harvest in and there's one lone ripe tomato, just one there. And it's all by itself. And that's what Micah is saying. Micah says he feels like he is the only one. He feels all alone. And friend, I want to say that loneliness is a tough thing. And in the chaos zone, you usually feel like you're all alone. You do. Now, you know, in reality, you know you're not. But you feel like you're alone. And that's what he's experiencing here in chapter 7, verse number 1. He feels all alone. And then he feels as though the general condition of the people around him was degenerating. And that's verses 2 through 4. You got to just look at some of the terminology here. He says, "The good man has perished out of the earth. There is none upright among men." Look at verse number 4. "The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge." Well, if that's the best, that's not doing very well. Not doing very good, is it? And that's what he said. What he's saying, everybody takes advantage of the other person. There's no judicial equity. The prince and the judge's ear is bent toward the influential man, the man whose pockets are lined. And they have it all decided and finished before it begins. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3. He says here, "The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up." In other words, it's already done before it's ever taken to court. It's already done and settled before they ever get into it. It's all wrapped up. And so he thinks the general condition of the people around him is degenerating. And then he feels it is so bad that no one can be trusted, even those in your own family. Look what he said in verse number 5 and 6. He said, "Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house." He said, you can't trust your friends. You can't trust your spouse. You can't trust your father, your mother. You can't trust your kids. A man's enemies are those in his own home. Now, would you agree that Micah could use some encouragement? This old boy's hurting. And that's why he says, "Woe is me." He starts the chapter off by saying, "Woe is me." Now, I'm not sure that anybody in here is quite in these same circumstances, but listen, you don't have to be. You don't have to be in the same circumstances and the same set of circumstances as Micah. A different set of circumstances can have you feeling the same way as Micah felt. Woe is me. I have gone from the Lord. from comfort zone to chaos zone, and it happened on a dime. And if some of you are not in chaos zone tonight, but you remember when you were. And some who are not in chaos zone tonight will be someday. Now you look at his solution in verse number 7. Well, maybe you don't want to look at his solution because it's pretty vanilla. It's pretty plain. He says in verse number 7, Because of all of these things I just talked about, what am I going to do? All right, here's what I'm going to do. I will look unto the Lord. So let me give you three things tonight, and then we'll have some announcements and so forth. Number one, what did Micah say when he was gone from comfort zone to chaos zone? The first thing he said was, he said, look to God. Look to God. Now, boy, preacher, I sure wish I had something more specific and more practical than that. Well, okay, I understand that, but there's not anything more helpful than that. Look to God. You just got to look to God. It sounds so simplistic. It sounds so plain. It sounds so uncomplicated. And it is, people. And it is so plain, so simplistic, and so uncomplicated that people go beyond it. Look to God. Sometimes you feel like you are between the devil and the deep blue sea and there's no way out. Well, Moses felt like that when he came to the Red Sea. And here comes Pharaoh's army behind him. And they're closing in, and the water of the Red Sea in front of him. And boy, what's he going to do? He's in a difficult spot. He's in a discouraging spot. He says, woe is me. And God says to him, Moses, you stand still and you see the salvation of the Lord. You know what God said to Moses? He said, you look to me. You look to me. Sometimes you're in a situation where you feel like you're being thrown into a den of lions. Just like Daniel did. Trying to honor God and his faith. And to be thrown into the lion's den for doing right. And the king said to him that night when he was thrown in that den of lions, that the king came and he said, now the king said this, the Medo-Persian king said, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. You know what God said to that king, to Daniel? He said, look to me. Look to me. He said, look to me. Sometimes you know that the shipwreck is coming and there's no avoiding it. Like Paul, who was in the belly of the ship in that storm in Acts chapter 27. And yet he got encouraged in the belly of that ship and came up on the deck of that ship and said, cheer up, men. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And I believe God that it'll be exactly as it was told unto me. And through the angel, God said to Paul, you look to me. Look to me. Sometimes it is so tight and so heavy financially. You don't know where to turn. Like the widow who only had enough meal and enough oil for one cake. And she and her son were going to eat that cake and they both were going to die. And the prophet Elijah strolls into the front yard and says, lady, could you please make me a cake? And she explains the situation. He says, okay, that's fine, but make me one first. And then God said, your barrel of meal will not fail and your cruse of oil won't fail. And through that prophet, what did God say to that woman? God said, look to me. So personally, through a Medo-Persian king, through an angel and through a prophet, God came to different people in the Bible when they were in chaos zone and he said to them, look to me. And folks, I'm saying, listen, when all you have is God, when all you can do is look to him, you are not in an isolated situation. Hundreds, if not far more than hundreds, have been before us, have encountered times when all they could do was look to God. And you know what they found out? They found out that God was able. I want to encourage you tonight to look to God. Look to God. If you've gone from chaos, from comfort zone to chaos zone, and everything has been scrambled and all upset, and it happened almost on the change of a dime. I mean, just a phone call or a doctor's visit or some decision that somebody made in a higher up a position or office than you, and the trickle-down effect just threw everything into chaos. Listen, look to God. I know it sounds vanilla. I know it sounds simplistic. I know it sounds uncomplicated, but you can't do anything more helpful for your heart than to focus your eyes on God. Look to God. Look to Him. Now, how do you look to look to God? Well, let me ask you a question. How do you look to someone else when you need something? Ladies, if you need some help, if you need something done around the house that you can't handle, that you can't do, most often than not, you look to your husband. You say, boy, you don't know my husband. I don't look to him. No, but most often than not, you know, a wife will say, honey, I don't know what to do, but boy, did my wife pull a good one on me last night. She pulled a good one. I don't know if she meant to, but she probably didn't even realize what she, but she pulled a good one on me last night. And buddy, she got me. So we were by ourselves last night. Pete and Leah and Cherith were up north in Elgin, taking care of some stuff for an apartment they're renting for when they get married here in a few weeks. And so they were there. So Luke and I were out visiting yesterday afternoon, and we got done, and I got home, and my wife said, we'd like for you to grill this. And boy, you can't scare me with a grill. Brother, I love it, man. And so I put some meat on the grill, some chicken and some pork. And so it was just her and I. We sat there at the kitchen table, just me at the head of the table, and they said, well, I bet it was a boring, sobering. But it was wonderful. It was great. It was just the two of us. And so we enjoyed it. And I'm not insinuating that we don't love you, all right? But it was a good time. And so she's cleaning up the dishes after dinner and washing. I'm going to go into the living room, and I'm going to work on a PowerPoint presentation because we're redoing all the discipleship material. We're going to be producing our own with Brother Sargent's permission to use some of his outline and then filling in and doing our own. Deutsch did some covers for us, and we're working to get this thing finished and making some PowerPoint presentation for the newcomers class. And she says to me, as I get ready to go in the living room, she says, well, I guess I'll just get Pete to fix this. I said, fix what? She said, oh, the sink's leaking. But I'll just get Pete to fix it. Pete, what's the matter? What you think? My old bread, last year molded bread? What's wrong here? I can fix a stinking leaking pipe. And I had that thing fixed in record time. I had my tools out. I had the silicone out. I found the leak and took care of it, and I didn't fuss and I didn't fram and I didn't throw around and out down there. I said, "Here you go. Now it's not leaking. Put a paper towel under there. Is it go ahead, go check your sink. Is your sink leaking? No, Terry fixed it." We don't need Pete. I couldn't believe it. Well, I guess that's some new little trick or something. But boy, I'm telling you what. You know what? She needed her sink fixed. It was the pipe underneath the sink. And she needed it fixed. And, you know, boy, she got my attention. And she looked to somebody else and it got done. Well, I don't know how to look to God. Sure, you know how to look to God. Look to Him. Look to Him. Look to Him. Look to Him in His Word. And don't forsake your daily Bible reading time. You know, this happens so often. People hit chaos zone. And all of a sudden we hit chaos zone. And we're going to throw away or do away with everything that is right and proper and healthy and good spiritually. And so, you know, I'm in chaos zone. So I'm not going to read my Bible this morning. I'm going to show God. I won't read my Bible. Friend, if you need your Bible more, it's in chaos zone. So don't forsake your Bible reading. You look to God in the Bible. And you know what? Through a prophet or through a judge or through a king or through an angel or through a miracle or through a prophecy, God is going to say to you, look to Me. Look to Me. Boy, you know what? I mean, really, I felt that. And I can't believe that it's much different. I mean, I felt like, what's the matter? You think somebody else can do this besides me? That's how I felt last night. And you know what? I wonder sometimes if God has that same feeling, and we're running everywhere trying to look for solutions. And God says, you know what I'd really like for you to do is just look to Me. Because I can fix this. Look to Me. And take your eyes off man, and take your eyes off man this and man that, and just get your eyes fixed on God, because friend, He is able, fully able to help you in the chaos zone. So look to God. Now, number two was the second thing he said in verse number 7. He said, look to God, number one. Then number two, he said, look to God with patience. That's the hard part. He said, I will wait for the God of my salvation. Whoa, don't miss that. The God who saved me. Now, folks, let me ask you a problem. Ask you a question about a problem. Get ahead of myself. What problem is bigger than unforgiven sin? What problem is bigger? What problem possibly could you and I encounter that's larger than being lost and unsaved on our way to hell? Is there any problem bigger than that? In fact, people who are in comfort zones all over this country, health, job, materialism, finances, people who are in comfort zones all over this country have a humongous problem. They're lost and hopeless without God. God has already handled the biggest problem you and I could ever bring to Him. That's our sin. Our lost condition, unforgiven sin. God has already handled that. On the day that you and I repented and exercised faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save us, God forgave us the penalty of our sin. He took care of our sin problem. And anything we face after that isn't near as complicated as that. Now, if He's already handled the big one, He could probably handle the medium one. And I'm not minimizing anybody's problems and calling them medium. I'm just saying, in comparison to saving our soul, God has already done the biggest thing for us when He saved us. And if He did the biggest thing, He will surely take care of the medium and the little things in my life and in your life. Here's the problem. The problem is that it may be on His timetable and not ours. And that's what gets difficult. It's that patience. He said, I will look to God. And then I will look to God with patience. Patience. James 1:4 says, let patience have her perfect work. Perfect being complete. You say, there's a work of God sometimes that's going on in the chaos zone. God is at work. Remember Job and the message I preached some years ago on navigating through the zone of silence. When Job could not find God in front of him, when Job could not find God behind him, when Job could not find God on his right hand, and when Job could not find God on his left hand, his testimony was, I know that God is at work. I know He's at work. He's at work in my life. I may not be able to see it, but God is at work in my life. And by the way, what does the book of James talk about? I believe it's the book of James chapter 5. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. When we look to God, we have to look to Him with patience. We have to be willing to wait for Him to work His complete or perfect work. You say, well, what do I do while I wait? You continue to look to God. You don't take your eyes off Him. He's not mandated to move on our timetable. He has His own plan and His own process. And I need to look to Him with patience, like a maid keeps a trained eye on her mistress, looking for the slightest indication of what the mistress might want. The maid follows her everywhere she goes, looking for some indication that the mistress needs this or needs that or wants this or wants that. And so the maid never takes her eyes off. And that's exactly what you and I have to do in the chaos zone. We have to look to God, and we have to look to God with patience. And by the way, folks, sometimes in the chaos zone, the very best thing to do is nothing. Don't make any decisions. Just wait. Be patient. God will come through. God is listening. God has a work to accomplish. I think about that verse over in the book of Psalms. I think it's Psalms 105, chapter 105 somewhere. I just read it here the other day, Psalms 105. And it talks about Joseph being in prison in the land of Egypt. And the Bible says, until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. God had a purpose for Joseph's trial. God had a timetable for Joseph's trial. God had a beginning to Joseph's trial, and God had an ending to Joseph's trial. And the best thing that Joseph could do during the trial was just wait for God to finish it. And sometimes that's exactly what we have to do. We live in the most impatient society in the world. Have you ever been at the stoplight, the first car in line, when it changes from red to green, and been daydreaming? Boy, the horns. Maybe you're the guy who is behind the car in the front line of the red light. Red light goes, bang! We get impatient at the drive-through line. We are an impatient society. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. When it comes to the plan of God and the process of God, sometimes it requires you and me to be patient. Be patient. Boy, I can look back at times in my life when I was in the chaos zone and was so agitated. And asking God and looking to God and expecting God and wanting God to do something, but do it on my timetable. And it didn't happen. And you have to wait until God works His perfect work. And I'll promise you, friend, if you and I will have patience and let God do what He wants to do, we'll never regret it. Be patient with God. Number one, look to God. Are you in the chaos zone tonight like Micah? You feel like woe is me? Look to God. Number two, look to God with patience. Number three, look to God with faith. Look at the last part of verse number 7. He said, my God will hear me. Oh, I like that. By the way, that's not a statement of pride, is it? That's a statement of what? Confidence and faith. My God will hear me. So many times we are encouraged to believe God in the Bible. Let me ask you a question. Did He save you when you called? When you called and said, God, please, save me. Did He do it? Yes. And that same God, that you had faith in that God to save you and make you a child of His and put you in His family and forgive your sin. And brother, that same God will hear you. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Listen, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I think in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Oh, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. So I'll have to look to God. I have to look to God with patience, and I have to look to God with faith. You know who exercises the greatest faith? Children. Kids. You know, a dad can make a big mistake and tell his kids, his son, his daughter, on Monday, that on Saturday we're going to the zoo. Now that's a big mistake. You tell them about 5 minutes before you go to the zoo. But you tell them on Monday, we're going to the zoo on Saturday. And that little guy in second grade, he goes to school, and the teacher starts the school day. Does anybody have anything to share with the class this morning? And his hand goes up, and he says, yes, Johnny, what do you got to say? We're going to the zoo on Saturday. You are. How do you know you're going to the zoo on Saturday? My daddy said. And buddy, and so now Tuesday, Tuesday morning. Okay, anybody got anything to share with the class today? Anything exciting and good news? Yes, Johnny, we're going to the zoo on Saturday. How do you know you're going to the zoo? My daddy said. My daddy, did you ever tell anybody my dad said? My dad said. Was that pride? That's confidence in a loving Father. And friend, I want to tell you something. I love Micah's attitude here. God will hear me. And so he said, when I go from comfort zone to chaos zone, I want to look to God. I want to look to God with patience. And I want to look to God with faith, believing that, you know what? When he gets ready in his time, my God will fix this thing. It may not be fixed exactly how I would fix it. It'll be fixed. And so, church, I just want to say to you tonight, I don't know who. I know some are. I counsel and talk to some of you. And I thought about you the last 3 or 4 weeks, in some cases further back than that. And your comfort zone has been turned into chaos zone. And you feel like you're all alone, even though you know you're not, but you feel like it. And you look around at the world around you, and where is this country going? Does anybody know what we're doing in Syria? Does anybody know what's happening? I never have seen such a lack of leadership in my life. Or maybe not. Maybe there's a more devious plan behind it. And who can you trust? Thank God you still got a spouse you can trust, probably. And family. But you know what, friend? Your situation doesn't have to be like Micah's. You're in your chaos, so look to God. That sounds so simplistic. Look. You ever do that? You ever do that physically? Do you ever take a walk and just look up? I learned that way back in college. And I'd walk the streets of Cherville, homesick, tired, and just look up. That's where he is. I just look up. I remember years ago, Tom Malone said, I think I told you this before, he preached for a fellow, picked him, they flew into his town, going to the church, and the pastor picked him up at the airport. And on the drive from the airport to the motel, about every little while, preacher's driving, Tom Malone sitting over here, the preacher would look out the window and go, drive on for a while. Brother Malone just watched. So after a while, Brother Malone, you know, he's looking. He said, Brother, you see something up there? He said, I'm just waving to the Lord. Brother Malone said he thought to himself, good night. Guy's off his rocker. He preached the meeting, got on the plane, flew back to Pontiac, had his car parked at the airport. Got in his car driving home, thought about that old boy. But Malone said all the way home, about every 10 minutes or so, he's waving at God. Well, that's where he is. Personally, I'm thankful he is seated high and lifted up above all this down here. I don't know about you, but I got a lot better feeling looking that way than this way. So are you in chaos zone tonight? Look to God. Look to Him with patience. And look to Him with faith. He will hear you. Father, bless, I pray, our church, these people tonight. I love them. I thank you for them. I want to be a help and a blessing. There's nothing in me that can help them, but there's sure some wonderful truths in your word. Would you please take your word tonight, reach down to somebody's heart who needs it, and bring encouragement, grace, and comfort, Lord. Help us to look to you. Help us to look to you with patience, and help us to look to you with faith, and not to miss something so simple and uncomplicated, so plain as looking to God.